Hello, and welcome to Culture Shock, the pop culture podcast brought to you by four aging millennials and our outdated opinions. I'm your host, Doug, and with me, as always, is...
Boromir? More like Faramir? I'm Adrian, and yes, that was an Adam Sandler joke during a Lord of the Rings episode, and they said it couldn't be done.
Potatoes. Boil them, mash them, stick them in a stew. My name's Corey.
Shall I describe it to you, or would you like me to find you a box? And I'm Mike.
There's some good in this podcast, dear listeners, and it's worth listening to. So today, if you didn't catch on, we're going to continue our trilogy of the greatest trilogy on Earth. Okay, maybe not, but it depends on who you ask, I guess. Mike, you haven't got to the end yet. Hold your comments for later. but we're going to talk about Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers. I'm trying really hard not to make a Twin Towers joke in this episode. I know I have to delete this.
Just anyway. Just do it.
I was going to name the episode The Twin Towers, but I was like, maybe.
Yeah, we're not naming it that.
Twin Towers.
Listen, a Twin Tower joke here or there, whatever. But naming the whole episode, that might be a little bad.
Yeah.
It might mislead
people. Today we're talking about the hard-hitting topic of... Oh.
Adrian and Mike, I'm going to come at you with this question first. Was there any characters, before we even get into it, the characters from the first movie to this movie, was there anything that changed your opinions about any of them? Like Merry, Pippin, Gollum, any of them?
My opinion of Merry and Pippin definitely changed.
Yeah, we both told you that was going to happen.
No, they were still there for a little bit of comic relief, but the difference is they actually kind of played a pivotal role this time.
Oh, there it is.
I know. I just had the same fucking experience.
I do a podcast with a bunch of fucking animals.
I know.
Merry and Pippin definitely were still a bit of comic relief in this in this movie, but they were a lot more pivotal this time around, which I really liked. I mean, essentially, if it weren't for them, the Ents would have never got involved. So, I mean, it's kind of a big deal.
Speaking of which, since we're on that subject, I noticed something every time I watch the movie, and it pisses me off. When he calls the first one a tree, and he goes, "We are not trees. Some call me Treebeard." What the fuck? Like, he's offended that he called him a tree, but he's cool with his name being Treebeard?
Hey, whatever.
What the fuck? Be consistent, Ents.
Corey, it's Beard Fassay, damn it.
Corey, what you don't understand is that beards make everything much cooler, so that's why beard tree is fine.
They definitely don't. Doug has a beard.
It's my Swedish ancestry coming out in this beard.
That's yeah, for people on. That don't know what we look like, Doug does grow a pretty mean beard.
You gotta understand. Tree, not cool. Beard tree, cool.
Beard tree, cool.
I agree with Mike about Merry and Pippin, and I like them a little more this time around. I think their humor was cut back, which was nice for me.
Well, you know, they were a little scared for their lives, so obviously yeah. They weren't feeling as funny.
Hard to make jokes.
I think Merry kind of grew up in this middle entry. He kind of started to realize the stakes around them, like how big this war really is. Pippin, not so much. He was still kind of the childish one.
Pippin fucked up.
Yeah, Pippin fucked up again.
Pippin straight up wanted to just run home until Merry explained to him there won't be a home to go to.
Pippin's like, let's just go back to the Shire. And he's like,
and
if we go back home, there won't be a Shire.
He fucked up hard.
No, that was Return of the King.
Oh, my bad.
I haven't seen it yet.
Don't worry. You don't know what I'm talking about.
Doug was like, I'm going to try so hard not to go into Return of the King.
We're 6 minutes in.
So basically what you say is Pippin does not fuck.
I can't help that these movies fucks. Are so excellently crafted.
No,
that
no, he fucks
they
up.
Just meld together so well that I
they do.
Fucking mix them up.
Well, see, this movie essentially picks up right where the last one left off.
Finally, Mike is right about that. I
know. You were bound to get there eventually, man.
Yeah, no, actually, you're still right. I was going to say, technically, if we're talking about the first scene, it doesn't pick up where, but it is a dream. So yeah,
it is true. Yeah, that was the first thing I fucking said when I was watching it. I was like, it picks up right where the last one left off. I was like, wait, no, it fucking does. It picks up in the middle of the last one.
They just had to rub our faces on Gandalf dying. They're like, remember when this happened?
Ha-ha.
And Gandalf was like, ah.
It's true, but Gandalf got the last laugh.
See, I love when a trilogy does that, and it doesn't. It actually makes it feel cohesive, and it's not like as much as I love like the Rocky movies. There's like a good chunk of time between most of them. No.
Those got a couple of pretty big Rocky fans in the room.
That's one of my favorite series.
Yeah,
of all
Doug
time.
Loves Rocky as well. I know. Wait, oh, okay, so you're saying you like when a trilogy picks right up where the last one left off?
To me, that makes more sense for a sequel. Like, instead of like just
like Halloween
being...
ends.
Glory damn it, I was going to make that joke. Much like Halloween 2018, Halloween Kills, and
yeah, it picks up right where the last one left off.
Yeah, exactly. I would have to have seen that to know.
Don't it see doesn't. That. Or do see it.
I don't think they do.
I'll have to consider the points you've made.
Check out my thoughts on Baker Reviews on YouTube.
According to Mike, if you love Jason Voorhees, you'll love Halloween Ends.
That's true.
If you like Alien versus Predator, Halloween Ends is for you.
That's true.
Yeah, I would go John Carpenter's The Thing, Alien, and then Halloween Ends.
Perfect. It's
try to make those
story.
Three work.
It's a perfect story.
Exactly. It's a perfect
story.
Throw
Rocky
movie.
Five in the middle, and you got it, man. Tommy the Machine Gun beat the shit out of Alien.
Much like Lord of the Rings, it's a very cohesive.
But yeah.
I love me some John Carpenter.
Yeah, to get back to Lord of the Rings.
Me too.
So Sam, Frodo, they're off on their own with fucking, call him. Fucking, that was so annoying.
That's Smeagol.
Oh, I love that.
Wait, what was annoying?
It just sounds like he's coughing up a hairball every time he says Gollum.
Choking when he says Gollum.
Call him. Fucking annoying.
Well, don't you think maybe that's where he got his name?
So anyway, that's
weird. Don't even have to add a pause into that one. We all sensed the room on that.
No, actually, if we look at our voices, we almost started up at the exact same time.
Yeah. First thing I noticed about this movie, to me, compared to Fellowship, this feels a lot more like Aragorn's movie than Frodo's, or just like the Hobbits in general.
Yeah, Aragorn was definitely the forefront of this movie, and that's because they wanted to get to Helm's Deep.
Right.
They had a lot of money invested in that that final fight scene.
Because it even like flows through into the third movie, I'm not going to spoil anything, where like Aragorn and Frodo are like the two main characters of the story from this point on.
Yeah.
You got like your side stuff with Merry and Pippin, but for the most part, it focuses heavily on Frodo and company, and Aragorn and the rest of the Fellowship.
Yeah. The first movie is kind of like all of them together. This one, they're split up, but it's more Aragorn and Legolas. That's like their story a little bit more. And the third one, I mean, without spoiling, kind of balances it again.
So we'll just starting with Corey. How do you feel about that being the focus of this movie? Do you prefer the Frodo Sam stuff, or do you prefer like the Aragorn and company?
I actually like that they broke up the second and third movie into kind of giving each one of them their own spotlight. Aragorn is a great fucking character, and to give him most of this movie to kind of shine, him, Legolas, and Gimli together, great fucking trio of characters. It's actually like one of my favorite character chemistries in a movie ever. They're really good together. Like Legolas and Aragorn have this really like deep-seated knowledge and trust in each other in history, and then Gimli and Legolas have this new butting heads brothers kind of chemistry.
I love their little rivalry when they're like talking about how many people they killed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's see, now that's a good little comedic moment that works for me. Like that.
43.
He's just like hitting
because my head was my axe is embedded in his.
Gimli's just hitting him with axes. 17, 18, 19.
And Mike, I'm not going to give anything away, but there's another fun little back and forth between them in the next movie about elephants. I'm not going to give anything away. Soldiers, but an elephant is involved.
I already know the line really, you're talking about.
It's
I love
really
it.
Funny.
Oil offense.
Oil offense, yeah.
I love the part where Aragorn fucking throws Gimli across the fucking thing. Don't tell Legolas. Or don't tell the elf.
Don't
tell
the elf.
I cannot make this jump. You have to toss me.
Don't tell the elf, he says. Not a word.
Like, the use of comedy in these movies, I feel like, is really well done beginning, like, from throughout all three of them, in my opinion.
I think it was definitely a lot better utilized in the second one than the first one.
I agree.
But, I mean, I didn't hate it in the first one, but I remember I thought Merry and Pippin were just kind of pointless in the first one. So
that's because they were mixed into a group of all elite badasses and then the two main hobbits. So the two secondary hobbits are going to feel less important.
They just annoyed me in the first movie. I don't know why.
And that's what it was. It's like they put their comedy in there like to give them something to do. And it just it didn't always land for me. But. Like I said, I think the humor's done much better in the second movie.
And they're so much better in the second
movie. They're so much better as characters, yeah.
And in fact, I think Beard Tree or Tree Beard, whatever you want to call him.
Beard Fossey.
No, the Bearded Tree is my cousin.
I feel like he had more comedy than Merry and Pippin.
Yeah, I could see that.
You know, to say things in our language takes a long time, and only things that take a long time to say are worth saying. So it's like, God damn it!
I love. He's like, we've come to a decision. They're like, oh yeah, you're like, we've decided you're not orcs. And they're like, what?
And everyone's like, yes, yes.
Yeah,
that's what you were talking about this whole time.
Are you guys done talking? We finished saying good morning, but it's already night.
Yeah, even when he's like, it takes us a while to say things, he's intentionally saying it so slow. It takes us a while to say things. Like, God damn it.
It's like listening to a bunch of Rosses talk to each other.
Yeah, there's actually a Futurama joke like that when with Nibbler's race, when they're like, for me to say even one letter of my name, eons would pass, galaxies would end, planets would die. So you can just call me Nibbler. It's like, God damn it, dude.
As far as my answer for that, as far as like shifting the focus a little bit more of this movie with Aragorn and you know their whole thing with Rohan and Theoden, and look at me, I know characters in places.
I'm so proud. You just dropped character name
and Rohan
and the entire continent of Rohan.
Such the focus point of the whole movie.
Yeah.
It's like I actually paid attention when I was watching it this time. But shifting the focus for me, I personally like that as well, because to throw out my first controversial statement here, I definitely like Aragorn and all of them more than I like the hobbits throughout these movies.
All the way to the very end?
The third movie, I really appreciate Sam a lot more. Because without saying anything, he's a badass.
Like, I mean, I started to really appreciate Sam a lot more towards the end of this movie. You know, the way he stands up to, I can't think of the guy's name, Boromir's brother.
Faramir?
Whatever the fuck.
It's like literally one letter different.
The guy that gives the most epic speech in cinema history in the movie 300.
He does give it, he does, yeah, right. But I mean, he stands up to him and, If it weren't for Sam, you know, he wouldn't keep fucking Frodo into it. So,
do you want to know why your brother died? Yeah,
gave me chills when he fucking spoke up like that.
By the end of the third movie, I love Sam compared to how I thought of him in Fellowship. I kind of start to get really annoyed with Frodo, and I know that's the point. The ring is driving him mad. He's getting like depressed. He's getting confused and angry.
I'm sure you guys
and
catch on, but why he pities Gollum is because he sees himself in Gollum.
Absolutely,
he sees what could happen to him if he keeps the ring.
Guys, he's Smeagol.
I have to save this character because if I don't, then I can't save myself.
Right. I pity him.
I pity Smeagol. I don't pity Gollum.
Yeah, so I love the focus in the second movie. I mean, my favorite kind of thing was all of them together. I love them all together in Fellowship. But if you're going one way or another, I prefer the focus being on Aragorn. More so than Frodo and Sam.
Just a real quick, Mike, when we get to the third movie, the first question I'm going to ask you is if you still pity Smeagol. So okay. I'm trying really hard not to say it.
Yeah.
Like, let's just say
Smeagol, maybe. Do you still pity Gollum?
No, I don't pity Gollum at all.
Yeah, but we'll get to that. But back to this movie. In this movie, he still seems pitiable. I agree.
Yeah.
I,
My glasses.
Well, that's not. That's annoying, actually.
Well, that's just absurd.
Like
a reference to your Discord comment.
Yeah.
Well, that's just absurd.
He keeps saying Gollum every time he's choking on Frodo's like Schwang.
Gollum's kind of like a Gollum's kind of like a Pokemon.
Gollum. He used deep throat. Damn. It was super effective.
He uses deep throat.
Frodo clearly has a fucking big wang.
His special abilities are my precious.
You've seen the Hobbit's feet, right?
Doug, please stop trying to force your goddamn Lord of the Rings fan fiction into this episode.
Dude, but it's really good if people would just read it.
Yes, you keep telling us that.
I shipped Gollum and Frodo, and you can't stop it.
Mike, what were your thoughts on the shifting focus of the Twin Towers?
I have to agree with Corey. Aragorn, Legolas, Gimli, they're all fucking amazing characters, and easily the three of them together is far more entertaining than the Hobbits. Oddly enough,
agree with me.
Yeah. Well, no, Corey said that too, but he
Mike,
was talking
you always give credit to like the wrong person.
No, Corey said he those three together is like.
But I was the one that said I clearly like them a lot more than the Hobbits. Corey never mentioned that.
I just said how great they were together.
You guys are brothers. You got that weird, like, twin penis thing or something.
Is that how that works?
You were attached by the penis at birth and had to get surgically separated.
When you're brothers, you take the average length of one penis, but you have to split it.
Yeah.
Damn.
So we each only have a 7-inch dick.
So
Adrian's killing my bell curve.
We're being graded on a curve.
But if this actually might be controversial, but I think I actually like Merry and Pippin's portion better than Sam and Frodo's.
Ooh, I disagree with that horror.
Yeah, I don't agree with that, but
that's why it's controversial though.
I really like the end, so I'm not
like
why.
Because this was a almost 4-hour movie, there was actually a point towards the end that I forgot Merry and Pippin were doing the stuff at the trees because they like just stopped talking about them for like 2 hours.
The reason I couldn't disagree with Mike more on that particular point is the only thing I agree with myself before I watch these movies when Corey was trying to get me to, I'm like, I don't want to watch your dumb movies with wizards and talking trees. The tree beard storyline is my least favorite part of this movie. It's the one thing I would say I dislike. I understand why it's necessary, but it's my least favorite part of the movie.
Yeah, it was important for like stopping Saruman.
Yes, it was important.
Leading to the third movie.
Yeah.
Fuck Saruman.
It was important for that, but
this is a Pokemon movie. Holy shit.
or Digimon.
It was a little out there, I think. The trees, that's the only thing I don't like about this movie is I don't care about
like the trees.
It was out that Gandalf dies. But that's where they found Gandalf again. Was also with the trees.
Yeah. No. It needed to be in there.
Dude, they easily could have found Gandalf without trees. They did not need the trees to find Gandalf.
What is wrong
in the woods.
With Ents, yo?
They're trees.
They're a staple of fantasy history.
But who gives a shit, really?
I care.
I love these fucking Ents.
Smokey the Bear would care.
Only you can prevent forest fires, you fucks.
Yeah, yeah, Smokey the Bear would care. Over in Europe, they have Smacky the Frog. Mitch Hedberg.
All right.
You can hear all about Mitch Hedberg on our comedy.
Much like Mitch Hedberg, that episode died. Anyway.
Dude, technical difficulties. We cannot.
And if I had to bring one back, I might bring our episode back. Mitch.
Wow.
All right. Real quick, since we're just talking, I have a question for you guys. If you could bring one back, George Carlin or Mitch Hedberg?
Mitch Hedberg.
Oh, me personally, Mitch Hedberg.
George Carlin did enough with his career before he died.
Yeah, George Carlin was so important for comedy. Yeah. And like, that's just, if you're going by personal preference and taste, Mitch Hedberg.
Does Mike not like either of them?
He doesn't know.
No, I've only ever heard George Carlin. I never really heard much of Mitch Hedberg.
Oh,
so.
God.
Right. Mitch Hedberg is one of my top five comedians of all time.
I can't make a decision on that that's not biased because I've never heard, you know, the one.
Here, this is one of the best Mitch Hedberg jokes, probably. I saw Wino eating grapes. I was like, yo, you have to wait.
Well, with much better delivery.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, you have to wait.
That does sound like I'd like Mitch Hedberg more.
To be fair, Mike, you actually have heard a Mitch Hedberg joke. You just don't realize it. He told a joke in that episode of That 70s Show.
Yeah, we talked about this. I did not lose my legs in Vietnam. Like I said, I did not lose my legs.
Back to the topic at hand. I just had to ask that question since it came up.
Yeah.
So Corey doesn't give a fuck about the trees.
I really don't.
Adrian doesn't give a fuck about the trees.
I actively dislike the trees.
You actively dislike the trees.
You heard it here, Greenpeace.
I, like the Lorax, give a fuck about the trees.
Yeah, like if you're going through likes and dislikes, this is the one dislike I'd have is in the movie, is the whole tree beard storyline.
It's not my favorite part, but I don't dislike it.
Okay, fair.
Yeah. I don't really, like, this is my favorite of the three movies. I'll be upfront about that. I think this is the strongest of the three.
But I do want to bring up that since you said they met Gandalf in the forest, I'm confused about one thing, and I always have been.
Okay.
Like, when Aragorn and all of them finally run into Gandalf and he finally reveals himself, when he does finally say Gandalf, Gandalf gets all surprised and says, "They did used to call me that." Okay, now I understand for him a lot of time has passed and he's like forgotten that they called him that, but didn't he just run into Merry and Pippin the scene before that? Wouldn't they have called him Gandalf? He's the one that found them in the forest and put them back with the Ents. They would have noticed it was him and called him Gandalf.
Didn't that happen after?
No, it was right before they found him.
Nope, he's right. Merry and Pippin.
Because you're meant to think it's Saruman from the back.
Because like the light's shining too bright.
Yeah, but you're right. You're actually, I think that's an issue. I think that's an issue only in the extended edition.
No, that's in the regular cut as well, I'm pretty sure.
Is it? I haven't seen the regular cut in a very long time.
You're in the regular cut.
That one's for you, Corey.
That's a good inconsistency. Yeah, good point.
I don't know, it's the only one that's ever really bothered me in this movie. I think it's just
because they were saving the reveal for the other ones.
It's just confuses
me. Maybe Merry and Pippin didn't say Gandalf. We weren't there.
They're both like, I think, don't we know you? Aren't you that one guy that lent us money?
Aren't you the master of magnetism?
You tell me they pulled a Dale Griffin from Pleasures and Automobiles. I know you from somewhere, don't I?
I've never seen that movie, so I don't get the reference.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, that's why when you're like, we got to do this movie, I was like, man, I'm about to ruin this whole man's idea.
Have you watched any Thanksgiving movie?
Who the fuck watches Thanksgiving movies?
I have two movies I watch every Thanksgiving. Listen. That one and Son-in-Law.
Dude, Thanksgiving is the holiday that got in the way of my birthday once every 7 years. Fuck Thanksgiving. It's a day to eat.
Corey watches a good movie every Thanksgiving and then a really bad one.
Yep. To be fair, Son-in-Law is because of Katie. I don't care about that movie. But we watch it every year.
Corey, better movie, Son-in-Law or Jaws?
Son-in-Law.
Wait, Corey, better movie, Son-in-Law or Christmas Vacation?
Son-in-Law.
Oh, you're fucking wrong.
Mike, wait, are you saying Christmas Vacation is better than Jaws?
100%.
As movies go, no.
This is what it feels like to be on the outside of this hate.
Adrian, I 100% agree with you.
Thank you, Doug.
Like, I'll watch Jaws and not hate it, but I'm not a huge Jaws fan.
You don't have to be a fan to respect. This is wrong.
Like,
we're
you know what?
On.
We're going down a bad path here.
Yeah, I'm about to get angry. Let's just move on.
You will like me to angry.
Fuck, you don't even gotta like it to respect it. Like,
I am going to, you can cut this out if you want because it's not a promised thing or anything, but I'm gonna watch it for my, I'm gonna start doing those segments of I rewatched it, do I like it now? Like,
don't keep
like
it in
that.
There, keep this in there. No, then he has to do it.
Yeah.
No, it's fine, it can stay in there because I am going to do that.
Yeah,
there, but I just don't know when.
There are movies, like Doug said perfectly, there are movies you can respect more than you like. Like, you don't have to, it doesn't have to be like your 10 favorite movies.
Oh, I respect what Jaws did.
Yeah, like, you don't have to like it to respect.
No, the documentaries I've seen about Jaws, I respect the shit out of that whole movie.
Like, I highly respect A Clockwork Orange, but I don't really care for it.
Oh, no, Clockwork Orange sucks. It's a bad movie.
I like Clockwork
Orange. About bad people and a bunch of fucking really a bunch of questionable individuals think it's like the best movie ever, and they love this. It's not the best movie ever. Yeah, but they love the main character like he's a good person when he's one of the worst people ever.
Oh,
so if you ever meet someone who loves the main character, Clockwork Orange, stop talking to them and go about your life.
go back to Tinder and find a new date.
That could become a Jeffrey Dahmer incident.
If my ex-girlfriend listens to this, I'm sorry.
I'm not. Fuck
Corey,
you.
Corey, I would like to think Corey Cunningham's favorite character is the main character from A Clockwork Orange. Because that dude has red flag written all over him.
The best part about Clockwork Orange was the Tenacious D movie skit where there's like, oh, look at the poor baby.
I don't know. The Rob Zombie song Dragula is pretty awesome. It was inspired by Clockwork Orange.
Yeah, well, that's a good call too.
It was also about fucking bitches in the back of his Dragula.
I mean, yeah. But did you see the music video? All the Clockwork Orange inspired.
Well, Rob Zombie makes great music videos, just like he directs good movies, but he can't write
worth
shit.
Isn't the music video just Matrix?
It's in
the Matrix. Dude, I am the one who's in my... There was that one episode of the Flash TV show that used it that was really good.
Oh, God, don't start talking about the Flash. You're going to get Mike going for half
an hour. I do. Mike's eyes just lit up like
Christmas. I know.
Anyway,
God damn it.
All right. Back to topic in hand.
Wait, Mike likes the Flash?
No. Who the fuck would like the Flash?
No.
He's the most OP superhero.
Not at all.
Anyway, moving on. Nope, moving on. All right, so back to Two Towers. So Aragorn, right? The whole Rohan thing with Theoden and whatnot. How did you feel about the weird fucking... He was like being controlled by Saruman and then just like instantly was like okay and ready to kick ass again after that.
Yeah, I feel like you'd be super mentally and physically taxed after that.
Yeah.
Like you just turn back to normal and you're like, fuck it, let's fucking kill it. No, that's wrong.
I really don't think you go from being exercised by a priest to, all right, let's now go for a run. It just doesn't work that fast.
Seems like a good day for a brisk walk, doesn't it?
Isn't it?
I love his shirt, by the way.
What is it?
Impractical Jokers.
Impractical Jokers.
Oh, I wouldn't know. Anyway.
That's a shame.
Not my style of comedy. Not my style of comedy.
Oh, so you don't like funny things.
That's what I was going to say.
Exactly. That's why he doesn't like you.
You don't enjoy joy in life.
I don't.
Well, we know that.
The only way to enjoy joy in life is to be fucking sad and depressed, because then you can actually respect the joy.
You said joy, and it just made me think of Ren and Stimpy.
Happy. Anyway,
Doug said just put that as our quote. The only way to enjoy things in life is to be sad and depressed. I think that's the opposite of how to enjoy things in life.
No, because you can't appreciate what like the joys in life unless you are sad and depressed.
Jesus,
that's really
what
dark.
A dark look on things.
It's a weird perspective, but you know, I'll allow it.
You don't even want to get into like a philosophy discussion with me. I'm a very fucking bleak individual.
Did anybody else feel bad for poor little Chucky when he got banished after Theoden was released?
Chucky himself, Brad Dourif.
Yeah.
What is his name? Wormmouth?
Wormtail.
No, it's not Wormtail. Wait, isn't that Harry Potter?
Yeah.
Wait, why are you calling him Chucky?
Brad Dourif is Chucky's voice.
The fucking killing doll?
Yes. Yeah, that's the guy who plays Chucky's voice.
No, Chucky Finster.
Yeah, it's Chucky himself. No, Corey, it's funny you call him Wormtail. Like, am I the only one that feels like that guy like could fit right into a Harry Potter movie? Wormmouth in this movie?
Yeah, he absolutely could have played Wormtail in Harry Potter.
I don't think that's his name, guys.
It's not. I called him that on purpose.
No, Wormmouth. I don't think that's right.
No, I'm... It's
Wormtongue.
Yeah. Okay.
Guillermo Wormtongue.
Okay.
Yeah. Played by Brad Dourif.
Guillermo del Wormtongue.
Yeah, when I saw him, I felt like this dude would be right in the Harry Potter universe. He'd fit right in any of those movies.
Well, see... Obviously, J.K. Rowling just stole the name Wormtail from Wormtongue.
Dude.
I see a couple
again,
parallels.
Wait. Try that again, Mike.
All right, good.
What?
Say that sentence again, but correctly.
She who shall not be named stole Okay. Name Wormtail from Wormtail.
I still can't believe I thought of that joke for my YouTube video.
I fucking hate you.
And then Doug stole it.
Okay. Then, you know how every time I've watched one of your videos, you've had something that you stole from me, and it's like this. Anyone?
Well, I doubt that. I have 50 plus videos.
Yeah, but I've only seen like I've only seen three of them.
Yes, that's true. And all three, I stole something from you.
It's like without
his first fail. 12 videos were all about the Friday movies, man.
Those all count as only one.
There was Freaky Friday, Freaky Friday,
Friday After Next,
Friday Next. I did all the Friday movies. Friday Night Lights.
They really missed an opportunity to do a fourth movie called Last Friday.
Or How They Got Fried-ed. How I Got Fried-ed.
They were talking about it for years and years, doing like Final Friday. Yeah, or last. Or
they
whatever.
Wanted to get Smokey back for one last movie, and they almost had it.
The Friday after next.
All right.
The Friday next month.
Kudos to Adrian. He has 52 videos.
You seriously have 52 videos?
Yeah, I must.
Wow. You're like, yeah, you're like right in, on par with our podcast releases. That's weird.
And I started way before, well, not way before our podcast, but I started before our podcast.
You did.
There were a couple months where we only released like an episode or two, too.
No, it's his consistency issues, Mike.
Yeah. Well, I know.
You should be way ahead.
I'm just saying we should be way more ahead of him than we are.
Listen, if you guys want to, if you guys each want to take one of my YouTube videos a month and edit that, then I'd be way further along.
No.
That's all me.
Where the hell were you seeing 52? He has 55 videos.
I'm only counting the actual reviews, not this bullshit. Oh, I'm about to start a channel.
Well, that's one.
That doesn't count.
That's 54.
Though. On YouTube, that shit counts, and it's...
All right, so he's got 54.
It's like cheating. It really is.
And Doug says, and I hate it.
All right, well, we're just going to start releasing 10-minute episodes.
No, we're not.
What was I supposed to do? It was my first day on YouTube. I'm like, hey, I'm starting a channel.
All right, back to
get off
movie,
my back.
Though. Back to this movie, though. Time constraints and all. Yeah, we only have 2 hours left, guys. Anyway.
However, will we do it?
We have less than 2 hours left.
All right, so the thing that you want to talk about most from this movie, we're going to go down the list with each of you guys. Like, think like the major one thing from this movie you want to talk about. We're going to talk about it. We're going to start with Corey and then Mike and then Adrian. Because I feel like, no, just Corey, what if you had to pick one thing from this movie you really want to talk about in this episode, what would it be? Let's talk about it.
One specific thing that I'd want to talk about. I mean, I can't really go away from the Battle of Helm's Deep. It's such a, in my opinion, one of the biggest masterpieces of battle cinema ever in a movie, TV show, anything.
I think it's by far the best battle in this whole franchise.
Agreed. Yeah. Well, having not seen the Hobbit movies, I agree.
Yeah, including those.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you right now. It's better than the Hobbit movies.
So I've heard.
And then, of course, that ends with a great saying, you know, the Battle of Helm's Deep is over. The Battle of Middle-earth is about to begin.
I love how little CG was used in that battle as well. It was like all,
yes,
like the like when the fucking wall like exploded, it was like it looked really good and clean because it was like scaled models and shit. But like it was so masterfully shot, like that whole battle.
Yeah, I'm such a fan of practical effects over CGI when you can use them. To me, there's just something more magical about knowing they did it practically.
Not a lot of people know that Peter Jackson used a ton of miniatures for this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You have to.
He found a way to introduce everything else into the scene of miniatures that you don't even really realize it.
Like, knowing enough about practical effects, you can tell if you know. But, like, it's so easy to just, like, forget about that and just enjoy it. Like, this is why it's my favorite movie, though. Like, this movie relied less on like CG than even the first movie.
Right.
And I think it really shows and it really helped pump it up.
The way they shoot these movies is so fucking good. Like a moment that literally gave me goosebumps is when the army, like the Orc army or Saruman's army or whatever it is, like walking towards Helm's Deep. And just when it starts raining, like when that lightning strikes and it has like, it like goes to Aragorn and Legolas's faces, like in that lightning, and you see the light on their face, like that literally gave me goosebumps. It was such a well fucking shot moment.
Corey, how's that make you feel to hear Adrian say that a moment in Lord of the Rings gave him goosebumps?
Oh, fucking great. I've been trying to get him to watch these movies since high school. Well, he did watch them, but I've been trying to get him to like these movies since high school.
Mike, how do you feel about that battle?
I mean, the battle's fucking phenomenal. Seriously. No, it is. It's really phenomenal. And no, the fact
good for
that,
you.
Like,
I'm getting serious. I was waiting for the one thing, but I'm glad you're actually going somewhere with it.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping for, too.
See, this is character growth for me and Mike.
Lord of the Rings, man. It's magical.
I just, you know, like there's a lot of moments that had you on the edge of your seat. And like Adrian said, there are moments that definitely like gave you chills. I think I said this about the first movie too, that the choreography as far as the fighting goes is amazing in these movies. These first two movies so far, at least, I don't know about the third one, but I'm sure it's just about the same. I love these, like this genre so much. So I hate myself for not really paying attention to these movies before. And it kind of goes deeper, obviously, with the Game of Thrones series too. Like I need to watch those too. I'm a huge fan of like
high fantasy,
as Doug calls it, high fantasy, right. Medieval type, you know, stories.
If there's coin, it's high fantasy. If there's credits, you're watching sci-fi. It's the rule.
That's the rule. All
and right. If there's death sticks, you're watching Star Wars.
You don't want to sell me death sticks.
But just everything about the battle. It's, like Corey said, I agree. It's one of the best battle sequences I've ever seen in a movie. I'm not typically like an all-out war guy. What I'm going to say actually right now is going to save it to the end. I'm going to say it right now, which Doug is not going to like. You guys probably won't like either. I still prefer Fellowship.
Wow. I mean, I don't dislike that. I'm just shocked.
So to me, first of all, as you guys know, I'm a sucker for origin stories. So that plays a big part in it. You know,
Adrian also loves an ensemble.
Yeah. I love the fact that they're all together in that movie. And
he hates the Avengers movies.
And I don't hate the Avengers movies.
No, those are like some of the ones he talks good about.
That's true. I hate a lot of MCU. I don't hate the Avengers movies.
I'm just trying to stir the pot.
keep your train of thought going, because I'm really interested to hear it.
No, I like origin stories. They had that in there. I loved it. Introducing the characters, the world. I love the ensemble of all of them together. I wish we would have got a little more of that, like looking back. Maybe we do in Return of the King, Mike. I don't know. I've always been kind of like an us against the world kind of. Obviously, all three of these movies, they're kind of undermanned and their odds don't look great. That's one of the things I love about Helm's Deep is it's just so dreary. Like, it's so grim. You have the small moment where the elven army comes to join them and they have hope again, but that quickly fades when you see just the sheer number of orcs and like, damn, we're still massively outnumbered. I've always liked that a couple people against the world. I like just the small fellowship against fucking Saruman and Sauron. And there's just something about fellowship. I like it a little bit more than the Two Towers.
Just to let you know, Adrian, why they had to split them up. If they had had everybody together at the Battle of Helm's Deep, Samwise would have just killed all the orcs. So they had to have him separated from everybody else so he didn't
be like, everybody. I'm Samwise the Brave, and then he would have spear-bombed them and walked away.
That's another really great moment from this movie.
Oh, God. I want to hear more about Sam.
When Frodo tells him, you know what? It's this movie. It's right at the end. I want to hear more about that story and just the way that Sam's like, you know what? Maybe I am brave. And like Frodo's smile because he realized he got Sam and he made him happy. It's little moments like that I really like.
I think across all the movies, like without getting spoilery, Sam has the best like speeches and dialogue.
He does.
Like, moments.
Yeah.
Well, Aragorn has probably the most inspirational ones. But Sam has the most wise, not to make fun of his name, not
Sam
to wise? Parody his name, but he has the most wise, like, story-driven speeches where he keeps Frodo going and inspires him to move on. But Aragorn can get a whole fucking army behind him with the things he says.
Yeah, Aragorn's a great leader. Like, that's shown in these movies. He's a great leader. And Sam to me is just, he's that little spark that Frodo needs many times throughout these movies. And like you said, I couldn't remember if that was the end of this one or not, but
yeah, that's when they're going through the woods Faramir lets them go.
Right. He says Frodo wouldn't have got far without Sam. Oh,
yeah, and
God.
Then Sam says, I wasn't making a joke. I was being serious.
Yeah, it's like, oh, Mr. Frodo, it's not nice to kid.
Yeah. Samwise the Brave. I think I quite like that.
He says, Sam's story. I want to hear more about Sam. I love that for Sam's character. Yeah. Like, it's not all about Frodo. And even Frodo acknowledged.
Speaking of the Battle of Helm's Deep, though, like, I don't know if you guys did. Probably. I don't know. But when Gandalf arrives with the 2,000 fucking riders right at the top, and you're just like, oh, shit.
Everybody's look for me in the east fucked. On the fifth sun.
Yeah, when the sun started like, coming up, it was like, oh, yeah, I forgot.
What a badass galloping on his horse.
Did anybody else realize in real life, though, that hill they're going down, those horses would have fallen like a motherfucker?
Yeah, I did think that. I saw that. I was like, that's really
as long as they maintain the full speed, they'd be fine, but they'd have to stop for the spears at the bottom. It would have been a mess.
We should have just had a horse grave at the bottom.
That first shot of them going down the hill, you can't even see the hill. It goes down in. It's like almost a 90-degree fucking
angle. I've ridden roller coasters, Corey. I think I know that.
Yeah, because horses have magnets on their feet.
Oh, they do have
earth magnets.
They do have
earth magnets. Keep right. me on this hill.
Hey, we're not talking about the greatest trilogy. Okay,
I appreciate
yes, we are.
I appreciate you, Mike. I appreciate
yes, we are.
You, Mike.
Yes, we are.
My darling horse running down that hill.
Please avoid the spears.
Can you imagine just this heroic scene of fucking Gandalf and then all the horses just start falling?
And the orcs are just like, oh, that was easy. And
Aragorn's just like, fuck.
Why couldn't they have come from the south?
Aragorn's doing like his little half smile thing, and then they fall like...
One does not simply ride on a horse down a hill without falling.
Gandalf the Grey might Boromir's have been high dead. All the time, but he wouldn't have fallen down the damn hill.
Look, Mr. Frodo, it's a bunch of horses falling.
No, I actually thought that too. Like, rewatching that scene, I was like, man, that is a steep fucking
hill. That's my first thought, and I was like, yes, this is awesome. Then you're like, oh.
And all the orcs, they did the exact right military move. They turned around, put the spears up, like, bunkered up. And it was like, there is nowhere to go but into those spears.
But Gandalf blinded them, and their spears went upwards a little, because they're like, we're blinded.
Oh, if we would have just stayed standing the exact same way, we wouldn't have even needed to see.
Well, they're fucking orcs. They're not brilliant.
I know.
No,
that's like my
shit.
I think that's my one complaint with that battle is that moment right there when he's running down the hill. He used light to blind them instead of like some badass magic to like blow them away.
He's Gandalf the White now.
Yeah, that means he's the leader now. He replaced Sauron.
Saruman.
My bad.
Saruman, even by the end of that second movie, he starts to look a little gray himself. But when he's running down that hill, he could have done what he did to Aragorn in the forest. He could have heated up all their spears so they dropped them. He heated up his sword so he dropped it. He could have done that to all of them.
Yeah but I think the light was more metaphor.
I get it,
A metaphor than anything. It was like the dawn has come, and he exemplified
well,
that.
Well, guys, it was a metaphor for Jesus.
Oh.
No.
Corey, you said that wrong.
Said fuck no. Jesus. Anyway.
Corey, you said that wrong. The title of that song is Running Up That Hill, not Running Down That Hill.
Fuck you all. You haven't even seen Stranger Things. Go suck an egg.
I fucking knew that song well before Stranger Things. Shit.
Oh boy, Kate Bush super fan over here.
Well,
next.
Actually, I knew the Placebo cover.
Oh, Doug, did you also know that Master of Puppets was around before Stranger Things? Actually,
no,
a pretty popular
no.
song.
I'm pretty sure the character of Eddie created it in that moment. Also, that is such a badass scene. You guys have to watch that show.
Are we talking about music?
No, we're talking about Stranger Things, Corey.
Did anybody else get a very heavy like Avengers vibe from the music in this movie? Like, I think maybe Marvel kind of got inspiration from Peter Jackson or whoever did the score.
I think
whoever actually did the score.
Epic music just does it. Just all kind of sounds the same.
It all kind
of
sounds the same, but this one specifically was very Avengers. Like, I don't know. I think maybe somebody got inspiration from these movies when they were doing.
I don't know. I heard somebody take the Avengers theme and turn it into a sick rap beat, then rap over it. So I haven't heard that with the Lord of the Rings music. Just saying.
That definitely exists.
I can't even remember how our theme music goes, so I don't fucking know.
That's true. No, goddammit, that's not it.
You're out. It's wrong again.
It goes. Dun, 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 dun.
No.
Dun, dun.
Wait.
Oh, I guess.
Is that Smoke on the Water?
Nope, that's Master of Puppets. No. That one's Hit Me, Baby, One More Time.
Oh, baby.
Oh, is it?
That's our theme music. Like, wow, this does not fit their tone at all.
Did it again. I played with your heart.
It's that, like, that would kind of go with our tone.
And join us today as we talk about the Two Towers. Oh, baby.
Join us today as we talk about the Twin Towers. Stop.
Yeah. As we talk about the Two Towers, you all right. Are. My fire.
So anyway, let's return to ground zero.
Holy fuck, that was amazing.
Okay. Yeah, so the Battle of Balls Deep.
I saw that
video. I almost said something that I would have had to delete. Anyway, going back to what we were talking about in Discord. All right, anyway.
Yeah, and so like I said, even when I was saying back then, I'm more of a Fellowship fan. I'm not really, I think you guys already know this about me, but I'm not a overly big fan of, like, war movies. I think Lord of the Rings are kind of exceptions because they don't feel like war movies to me.
When it comes to, like, swords and stuff, I'm way more into it. I just don't give a fuck about, like, modern, like, warfare at all.
That's fair, and I would agree with you, I think, when it comes to this type of war.
You guys ever seen the movie Kingdom of Heaven?
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Okay, well, that's all I want to say.
Mike's like, that's all I wanted to say.
It's pretty good. A lot of people really love
that's
it.
Kind
of,
that's Orlando, I think it's right?
Yeah. But Orlando. When it comes to, like, battle, I love one-on-one fighting movies. Like, that's why I love martial arts movies, because you can really get into the technique. That's why I like boxing, like Rocky and shit. I'm, like, way into that stuff.
Just one-on-one.
Like, when it comes to, like, warfare, I really generally don't care, but I like the good old medieval-style fantasy stuff. Like, when you start incorporating that's like, I don't know if you guys have seen the show The Witcher, but that has some of the greatest fantasy combat I've ever seen. The use of magic is amazing. Like, they're creating, the mages create portals that the archers shoot arrows through and shit.
Liam Hemsworth is so good in that show.
I was about to ask you, Doug, how do you feel?
Heartbroken.
Heartbroken. Are you, like, most fans and blaming the studio, even though it was
Henry Cavill's decision? But I believe the decision hinges on the fact that they're moving further and further away from the source materials the show goes on.
I do know that has a lot to do with
that. And it's not the games, it's the books that it's based on.
He's returning as Superman fully.
He is returning as Superman.
Which needs to happen.
Thank you.
There's no one else that can do that. Yeah.
James Gunn even put out a thing. I think I tweeted it yesterday. He is focusing on getting a better DCU for everybody. He wants us to enjoy the DCU. So I hope that fucking happens, because I think James Gunn can do it.
Black Adam is a good start.
Rewatching V for Vendetta, I always forget that's a comic book movie. It's like, DC used to make good comic book movies. What the fuck?
Spawn?
Did you just say good movie?
For 1995, it was very well done as far as, like, special effects and whatnot.
Spawn is a movie I've seen way more times than I have any right to. But
yeah.
I don't like it, but I've seen it so many times.
I'm excited that they're making a new one.
I'm excited about that.
Saying the first one's a good movie is a bit of a stretch.
Hopefully John Leguizamo returns us.
Oh, God.
Speaking of bad movies, join us in a few weeks where we talk about Annihilation. Right, Doug?
Fuck you. That's a great fucking movie.
No, but speaking of...
Doug, did you just say that's a great fucking movie?
Yes. I'm gonna be the guy that defends Mortal Kombat Annihilation to the grave, bro. I clearly watched the wrong one.
There was not that much fucking in that movie.
I can't wait to do that episode.
Not,
you didn't watch the extended version.
That dragon and that werewolf, fuck, okay.
Pretty cool, huh?
Interspecies.
I don't think they do. They don't have the money for CGI. For
and I'd like to thank our sponsorship, baddragon.com, for helping us make those. Anyway, they're not sponsored.
Nightwolf comes up to Liu Kang and he says, pretty cool, huh? Yeah, that's my bestiality. I mean, my...
Oh, shit.
They knew what they were doing when they called him.
And he was... Nightwolf was practicing that line for hours. Like, when I see him, I'm going to call
animality.
It... Animality. Did you like it? It's my bestiality. Fuck. I have one chance.
Robin Shue's like, where'd that wolf go? He's like, I fucked him. Pretty cool, huh?
I hear the scene in The Revenant was inspired by that moment.
Anyway. No, but speaking of The Witcher, did anybody get serious Witcher vibes when Aragorn like tracked down the Hobbit's foot, like their path?
Oh, yeah. That was pretty cool.
Like after they piled up all the bodies and he went over, he's like, they were right here. They were bound.
Yeah. That scene, I love that scene because people forget that he was like this like master ranger tracker guy. Yeah. And he was able to like break it all down.
That's when he's sitting in the bar in the first movie, the guy, when he doesn't know his name's Aragorn,
the ranger,
he says he's a ranger. He searches for people. It's what he does. Like,
yeah, that's Strider.
Yeah. That's what it was, Strider.
I feel like they underplayed that side of him in the second and third movie significantly because it was a major point in the first movie.
Yeah, it's like they just forgot about that characteristic.
Well, that's because he became more of a badass.
Yeah, I'm glad they put that in there. Like, that didn't take me out of it at all. Like, I was watching one video where they're like, well, don't you think like all the horse tracks and stuff would like cover that up and he wouldn't know? Like, it doesn't seem realistic.
That's what makes him a master tracker.
Exactly. It didn't take me out of it.
Adrian, did you tell these people to fuck off?
Well, it was like a big channel. I think it was like Everything Wrong with CinemaSins. He has like 9 million subscribers.
Yeah, I watch all those.
I've seen like every episode.
Yeah, he's not going to listen to me if I tell him to fuck off in the comments.
CinemaSins is almost how I watch movies these days.
I've watched all of his Marvel ones and I'm mad the whole time I'm watching it, but he's fucking right about a lot of it.
A lot of it, he is, yeah.
But the whole time I'm like, fuck you, but I still watch them.
That's a good content creator.
It is.
Oh, yeah. They know exactly what they're doing.
Oh, for sure. Now, I have nitpicks on the movie because, you know, that's what I do.
Oh, clearly.
I get nitpicks.
Because he's Adrian.
Because I'm me, but...
Here, before you even get
that's not one of them.
I'll share one of my biggest nitpicks with the movie.
Is it that the horses didn't run into the spears?
No. It's actually that I feel like Gimli was forgotten for most of the movie. Like, even every scene, he barely spoke. I think orcs had more lines than he did.
Yeah, that's true.
I did.
Wow, I didn't think of it in that respect, but you're right.
Yeah, what about them? They look like fresh meat.
Just a leg, just one bite.
I did enjoy, you know, when they're running across the fields trying to track down Merry and Pippin. Fucking Gimli's so far behind in every single scene.
Yeah. Even when they're just showing a far shot of them running, he's still like a mile behind them.
3 days, no eating, no rest.
Yeah.
He's like, breathing, that's the key.
I like when he says, orcs are great sprinters. We're great in short running situations.
Dwarves, Corey.
What I say?
Orcs.
No, yeah, I was right.
Yeah. Gimli says, like, cross country is wasted on me. We're naturally good sprinters.
Good in short situations.
They're basically crocodiles, guys.
Gimli is my spirit animal. I can sprint for about 10 seconds and I'm fucking dead.
I did love that they played. That was probably my favorite comedy moments. Anytime now, like, it was like unrealistic that Gimli could keep up with a half elf and an elf. Right
now on a
you
serious
know they had to
note,
slow down for him a couple
on
times.
A serious note, I want to get Mike onto a track and watch him sprint for 10 seconds. That's not as easy as you think it is. 10 seconds is actually a long sprint if you don't
run
a lot.
Are you guys that out of shape?
If you don't run a lot, are you missing sprint, not jog?
I used to do 100-meter dashes in 12.8
seconds. 10 seconds is longer than you think while you're sprinting.
It's 10 seconds.
Okay, then I want to see you do it.
Okay.
All right, we're all racing 100 meters. We're doing 100-meter dash.
Oh, God. The world's saddest 100-meter dash. Corey would be coughing. One of us would have an inhaler.
Guys, that has to be, we got to get Ian back just to be our cameraman.
I'd be throwing up at the end.
That'd be the one thing I'd give Ian. He couldn't run with us because he'd make us look bad.
Just don't bring up the title of the podcast.
Ian, we totally changed their name.
No, we didn't. We were complimented on it a bunch before we started. Even
Ian, we're doing a 100-meter dash for charity. Can you film it? He's like, for what? That's for whatever you wanted to call it. That's what we changed our name to.
That's whatever you wanted to call it for you.
The Pod People Cast or something.
Is that seriously what he wanted to do?
No, because I'm pretty sure Pod People's taken.
That was taken.
Oh, okay.
How the fuck isn't that taken? Let's be real. Fuck, I was shocked this wasn't taken.
Were you culture shocked?
It was, yes. Actually, remember? But they only released like 5 episodes.
Yeah.
they sucked.
We win.
We took it, and we have the copyright, bitch.
We literally took it.
I don't know. I haven't listened to this one episodes, but I assume it better.
Hey, look at me. We're the culture shock now.
His was about culture shock, not pop culture shock.
Yeah, his was very political and stuff. Yeah.
Which makes way more sense.
That's probably why it only went for 5
episodes. There's like a dozen podcasts all named Culture Shock that are about politics, but ours is the number one on the Google search. Just saying. Anyway.
Because you're awesome.
Be sure to rate and review us 5 stars wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, where can they do that at, by the way?
Anywhere they get their podcasts.
Nice. God, we are good
professionals.
God, we're just fucking so awesome right now.
You can get it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Castbox, Pocket Cast, Good Pods, Good Podbean, Amazon Music, Audible. You can get them on any of those.
Podcast Addict?
Yes.
You didn't mention the one that I use.
Pod Life, Pod Death, Pod
Pod Racing.
Pod race. Nice. No, fuck that.
Yippee!
They can also get it on TuneIn, Alexa, iHeartRadio, Listen Notes, Deezer, Pocket Cast, Podchaser, and Player FM.
Goddamn, okay. Guys, talk about an organic plug.
Or you guys could just go to Buzzsprout and download the episodes.
You can download it from any of those places and it counts, Mike.
If you have multiple accounts, download them at all those places.
Yeah. We need to get 1,000 downloads in a single month to get sponsored, guys.
We're telling them how we get paid. We are professionals.
If you don't help us get paid, you're not fans.
We got to get that money, yo.
Listen, if you guys help us to get to 1,000 downloads in 30 days, we won't share the money with you.
We will even set up a Patreon so you can give us money directly.
Yeah, we'll set up a Patreon so you can give us more money.
And we'll
that's
put
a
out,
treat for you, the listeners.
And we will put out just as much content.
In fact, maybe even less.
Maybe less. We're getting paid now, guys. Okay. We don't have to do anything.
I don't know. If I win the lottery
tonight.
Isn't
that how it works?
If I'm in the lottery tonight, I could commit all my time to this podcast.
There you go. Or if people pay us.
If you win the Powerball, you better help all of us commit all of our time to this
podcast. Yeah, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to get a fucking office and everything.
All right. Ooh. Back to the movie, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Our La La Land dreams be damned.
They'll be here 50 years.
Rick and Morty, 100 years. Anyway.
Right. Welcome to Culture Shock. The pop culture way.
Bold of you to assume we'll live 100 more years.
No, I'm dying in 10.
Today we're going to be talking about Star Wars 27.
Ouch.
He said ouch.
What a shitty movie.
Please no more.
They did already start talking about 3 more movies.
No!
They're going to bring back the cast from the sequels, too.
When I saw that they were making a show based on Andor from Rogue One, I was like, yeah, I'm done with Star Wars.
Dude, it's rated better than half of the shows and movies. I don't know.
That's because
be
it was
right.
He was like a cool character, but I never wanted to see another thing with him.
I didn't want to see it either, but I might watch it.
I did hear that it's a phenomenal show, just nobody's watching it.
Well, it's because
it's
a character.
It's the best show nobody's ever watched.
It's because it's a character that nobody asked for a backstory on.
It was like, he was cool in Rogue One, and that was it.
Guys,
like, I don't
guys,
need more.
Do you remember what the critics said about Peg?
Adrian can only get so erect with this talking shit on Andor or whatever, so let's move on.
He's got half a chub right now. If we keep going, we might have to take a break.
All right. Nah, he'll just turn his camera off. And when we hear...
And I'll turn my microphone way up.
Is that enough gain?
Buzz, no!
Fuzz, no. All right. But we're getting sidetracked. Let's pull it back in.
Rein it in.
All right, we're reining ground zero. That's what I'm saying.
I keep confusing that for Helm's Deep, sorry.
Yeah, I can see it. Okay. Anyway, like when that wall exploded, it was just like when that plane. I'm just kidding. Anyway, moving on.
And
welcome to Canceled Shocked.
All right, so we talked heavily. When I asked that question, we talked heavily about the battle. Mike, if there's one thing from this movie you wanted to talk about, what would it be?
Well, while we were talking about the battle, we didn't talk about one of my favorite parts was the other battle. Like, I fucking love when the Ents start tearing shit apart and they fucking tear down that dam, and all the orcs are just getting fucked.
That my favorite comedic moment from the whole movie is in that scene when that tree that's on fire comes running out of your dungeon.
Oh, yeah.
In water. It's like...
very, very smart.
Yeah, that tree knew what was happening. But he was on fire for a really long time.
It may take them forever to discuss things, but those trees are brilliant. They know what the fuck they're doing.
Yeah, right. I got a big kick out of that. It was just so, like, because they took it so seriously. He was on fire and dunked himself. I was like, God damn it. But yeah, I liked that little battle, how one-sided it was.
Those Ents fucked. Like, you guys think Aragorn fucks. Those fucking Ents fuck.
A wizard should know better. And then, you know, the long bottom leaf barrels that they found.
Wait, that's the battle at... hold on, let me try to do this out of my own memory. That's the battle at Isengard?
That's the battle at the other tower.
Isengard?
Yeah, at Isengard.
Yeah, look at me!
I'm, like, blown away right now. Dropping names.
They're taking the hobbits to Isengard!
Dude, you're dropping Saruman. Names like those towers dropped, man.
The two towers, the two towers.
Yeah, the two towers. What did the fuck they drop? Wait, where's your head go?
Those didn't drop.
I was going to say, did those drop?
Anywho.
I don't know what you guys are thinking I'm talking about here.
There was one thing, like, and maybe it's just the way my mind was working. I'm watching them fucking, they're fucking up these orcs. They're throwing them everywhere. They're stomping on them. And then they're knocking these orcs out of these fucking towers, like these little small, like... the fuck kind of like nah, I don't
like
know.
What would you call two like, towers that are side by side that look the same?
They were knocking over these like lookout towers that were made out of
lookout
wood,
towers.
Like,
that's what I was thinking.
They're fucking these things up, and I'm like, I understand that the wood's dead,
fucking on the towers.
The wood is dead, but you're still like you're destroying it. Isn't that you? Like,
isn't that you?
They're not trees, Mike.
They were doing it to let them rest in peace. Like, what, you want to have your body torn up and turned into a fucking meat tower? No, I don't think so.
Oh, God, a meat tower. That's disgusting.
That was my nickname in high school.
So what you're saying is Merry and Pippin were Paul Bear and the Ents were the Undertaker.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it for our wrestling fans.
I was a WCW guy, so sure.
I get it, but, you know, eventually WCW got bought out, and then I was forced to watch the other one.
All right, so any more you wanted to say about that battle? The trees, Mike, since you love them the most?
Mike definitely loves the trees.
Out of the four of us, I definitely do love the trees the most. I told
my
you,
God,
I
they're not trees.
Hence, the trees. Hey, he calls himself Treebeard, and as long as the beard's there, it's cool. So yeah, the Ents, they're just fucking badass the way they handled those orcs and made Saruman look like a booch.
Do you think that was an intentional move on Merry and Pippin's part, having him change direction?
Oh, it was Merry, I think. Oh, 100%. He was like, take us to Isengard, yo.
Right.
Did he know, though, that the trees were fucked?
I think he knew what was going on in Isengard.
Because I think at that point, I think he was just wanting him to turn around because he realized he wanted to be a part of the war.
He wanted to be a part of the fight.
I think it was just a coincidence. I think it's coincidence.
I disagree, but I can see that point of view. I think he knew.
He didn't seem super surprised when they got there and saw all the shit.
Yeah, and it was like they were going the way they were going. He's like, wait, take us south to Isengard. Like, the way he said that, he got like this serious look on his face.
I do like the way that the you know, Treebeard says, I like going south. It's like I'm walking downhill.
Yeah. I've always liked going south.
Yeah, like, I'm not saying you're wrong, because I don't think it's exactly clear.
I can see why you'd say it, because it does, he doesn't seem shocked. He's not like, no, he's, I mean, the Treebeard's clearly like,
a wizard should know better.
Treebeard was pissed.
And of course, the visuals just fucking again, beautiful. Like when, is it Pippin that stands up and he's like looking at the whole scenery as Treebeard's walking them? Just goddamn, the movie looks so good. These movies look amazing.
Yeah, right. I will say the trees, the CG of the trees is some of the best CG from that era, I think.
Those are the ends.
Yeah.
Thank you.
God damn it, this is getting old real quick.
I'm over here trying to go all Hermione and they give them equal rights, and you guys keep calling them trees.
Hey, Adrian, I have a question for you. Actually, I do have a question for you, because it's your turn to tell us about the. If there's one thing that's maybe you want to talk about, what would it be?
Well, let's see. I mean, I know Helm's Deep's obviously the usual go-to answer probably for Two Towers.
He wants to talk about Scottie Pippen dreamed a three-pointer. Oh, wait, no.
Well, I guess, let's see. So we have Helm's Deep. We have Battle of Isengard.
Let's see if I can get Adrian on this one. Who won the game?
Oh, Lakers. Van Exel hit a three.
Van Exel hit a three at the buzzer. Don't try to distract me.
Ha, ha, ha.
But, Doug, you've never seen Multiplicity with Michael Keaton? He makes like clones of himself.
I have seen Multiplicity.
It's a must rewatch. It's very funny.
I've only seen it once, but it is hilarious.
They're trying to change the subject. He comes in all mad. He's like, "So who won the game? Lakers won the game. Van Exel had a three." He just gets sidetracked.
Yeah.
But anyway, right. So I guess if they're taking both the battles, probably just that we got a lot more of Smeagol / Gollum in this movie. I loved his. I loved him. Gollum.
You're welcome.
What do you want? Do you want Charmander, Blastoise? I haven't played Pokemon in a while, guys.
Charmander, use Blastoise.
Charmander uses Blastoise.
It was not effective.
Charmander uses Squirt Gun. Yeah,
Charmander uses Squirt.
Whoa.
Yeah, he does.
Again, Doug, with the fan fiction, stop.
Yeah, because I believe in the Fellowship, what did we get as far as Gollum? Just like the glowing eyes? Did we see him?
And he was being tortured on that table. Very little.
We didn't even see his face, really. Yeah.
You saw him kind of crawling as he was following them in the caves. That was a bit.
And Gandalf mentions him. That's about it.
And you heard his voice a bunch of times. But
yeah, so the second one, I mean, I like that we got the whole fucking motion capture, which really helped. Really helped the acting of Elijah Wood and shit, that he actually had something to grab onto instead of him being fully CGI.
I mean, Andy Serkis is fucking amazing. So
that was kind of the first time this was incorporated in a movie. Like you had Jar Jar from a few years ago, but he was completely CGI. So they were just standing there talking to nothing.
Since you mentioned that, have you ever seen pictures of the guy in costume for Jar Jar with that big fake fucking head?
Yeah.
Yeah. Making him like fucking 8 feet tall or something.
Yeah, like an 8-foot Jamaican kind of witch doctor thing.
Me, sir, Smeagol Binks.
I would shoot myself in the face before I watched that movie.
I love the introduction of Smeagol, Gollum, whatever you want to call him. I like they explored kind of like the dueling, you know, the duality of the personalities between them.
Yeah, he's clearly a Gemini.
Right, these are clearly two very different people.
And if you follow star signs, you're an idiot. Anyway,
agreed.
I love that back and forth between Smeagol and Gollum.
But at the same time, I was at the bar a few weeks ago, and a girl's like, "Oh, you're a Pisces," and she was cute. So I'm like, "Oh, what does that mean?" Although I hate astrology and the star signs.
You know how many times I've had girls explain to me what Sagittarius means for the reason.
But hey, you gots to do what you gots to do.
No, it's totally. I'm sure that Mars being in retrograde is why your ex left you.
Honestly, I'm a Cancer, and this is all really pissing me off because it's in my star sign.
Wait, let me look up. Cancer means you have a small dick. Yeah.
Well, I mean, for the most part, it's right.
Mars being in a microwave has nothing to do with your shit personality.
Right. So Gollum, duality, Smeagol, and Gollum. I love how he's like, he's so deceptive. He's trying to kind of turn Frodo against Sam throughout these movies. And, you know, to an extent, it's kind of working because, like we talked about, Frodo pities him. He sees himself in Gollum. He really fucking, you know, breaks my heart for Sam in this movie and Return of the King.
More in Return of the King, but yeah, we'll get to that. Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, no, that's why we're not.
Well, you know what it is. You just haven't seen it.
Shut up, my precious.
And then, you know, since we already talked about Jar Jar, which is funny because to me, Gollum in this movie really felt like similar to Yoda, just in the sense that like his character plays such a big part in this. And the way it's like, the way, if it wasn't adapted into the movie the right way, like this entire movie would have suffered.
He could have been Jar Jar, but instead he was more like Yoda.
Okay. That's what I'm trying to say. Okay. Doug's like, wait, how is he like Yoda?
Yeah, I'm like sitting here, I'm like, what?
Gollum the Wise.
Okay.
Yeah, because he played such a big part in this movie. If he was incorporated poorly, like the whole production just, it would have taken a big hit.
When Yoda first saw himself in the Star Wars prequels, he was like, HDMI. Anyway.
Puppet, am I?
It's weird when Doug makes a dad.
Guys, we go for the highest caliber of comedy on this podcast.
I think that's hilarious. Anyway. Yeah.
The highest definition of caliber.
Boom.
Yeah, Peter Jackson, I know he was really trying his hardest to get Andy Serkis a nomination for Best Supporting Actor for his role in these movies. Academy wouldn't let him do it because they said they don't know how much is actually his performance, how much was the motion capture and the editing after the scenes were filmed. So he wasn't like eligible.
Plus, it wasn't really respected quite yet. It was kind of a new medium for movies, the mocap and the
fuck the Academy.
It was a relatively new thing, and it wasn't getting quite awarded quite yet. It wasn't right there yet. That it gets a lot of awards now, but
I'd argue it's still not really respected.
It's not respected, but it gets awards now at least.
I think it deserves a lot more respect than it's given because I don't think people understand how hard that shit is to do at all.
But yeah.
Plus, even saying that not a lot of it was his performance. Even so, being a voice actor is so fucking underappreciated in that industry. Being a voice actor is a lot harder than people give it credit for.
Being a voice actor surrounded by real like people live acting, it has to be even harder too.
Doug, what is one thing that you want to talk about that we haven't covered already, being your favorite movie of the series?
Well, I love the Battle Helm's Deep. I like the stuff at the trees a bit, though not nearly as much. But I do like the tree stuff. I like the Sam and Gollum Frodo stuff. But I like this kind of piggybacks off that. Their interaction with Faramir and Sam really stepping up and like trying to like convince him, yo, you gotta let us go. It's the right thing. And he isn't. But by the end, he's willing to like risk his, like sacrifice his own life. And let it. He's like, you know your father's rules. This will mean your head. Then it means my head. And he lets them go.
Even when Sam was like, your brother's a piece of shit.
No. Later than that. After, because at that point, he's like, no, you're coming back to Gondor with us. And he was like, fuck you both. I don't care.
Yeah, Faramir doesn't let him go till after Sam's speech.
After the Nazgul's attack, and he sees Frodo, like, struggling with the ring and, like, losing his control. He understands, like, this is fucking killing this guy. And he's still trying to do it. I gotta let them go.
Yeah, he's impressed by, like, Frodo's resolve.
Yeah.
And Sam's badass speech.
Yeah.
You don't think that when Sam says that about his brother, though, he gets that look on his face.
No, I think it affects him, but that wasn't the...
I think
the part
he definitely starts
about.
Having second thoughts, you know, like, oh,
yeah, no,
shit.
He's definitely getting through to him. I think that was a major reason, like, Sam standing up to him and saying that stuff, I think is a major reason, but he didn't care all the way until he saw, like, the struggle that Frodo was going through, I believe.
Sam looks to the camera and he goes, I am the hero of the story.
You haven't seen, you have to watch Return of the King again first before you make these comments.
But you will come back and make these comments. So.
Because we're all like ready for the third one already. So it's really hard for us to keep some of this shit in check.
I know I am.
I've been trying to like in my head be like, wait, is what I want to talk about right now in the third one?
Guys, no spoilers.
Exactly.
Everyone dies.
The end. Oh.
Well, that's my kind of movie.
And I was going to say, honestly, that's that. I like that.
That's I love Rogue One.
Damn it.
Yeah.
That's true.
And Halo Reach, anyway.
Well, I did say, I am on record saying I love the third act of Rogue One. So, yeah.
Yeah, Adrian likes the part where they all die.
That's what I love about it.
It's finally, that means there can't be a two. Now it's using Star Wars and the Book of Honor.
Now streaming Andor.
That's where Andor should have stayed dead.
Back to the topic of it. But yeah, like when you see the Nazguls on those Drake things attacking, I don't know what the Drakes are called.
It looks like a dragon to me.
No, the difference is the... It's called a dragon has separated arms from its wings. These are drakes because their arms and their wings are the same.
It's called a drake, and it goes, whoa, fire, fire. Used to call me on my cell phone.
And it goes, text, 14-year-old girls. Anyway.
Oh,
fuck Drake. Listen.
When I first saw the Drake dragon, whatever the fuck you want to call it,
it's a Drake.
When I first saw it, my first thought to my head was like, you know, maybe that's what every medieval story hi-fi is missing: dragons.
What the fuck is a hi-fi? Lo-fi hip hop? Like
sci-fi?
What are you talking about?
Hi-fi? What?
They're not sci-fi. Sci-fi is a different.
Mike said hi-fi, like high fantasy.
Yeah.
No, he's just creating his own cool slang shorthand for high fantasy.
Mike thought he could just slip it in and we'd never talk about it.
Fuck that. No.
This is the wrong room for that kind of thing.
Yeah, dude. I heard that.
We're going to sit here and critique everything.
I don't even care. I'm sticking with it.
I'm going to critique it even harder now. Like,
listen, how you can't say Mike's, sci-fi, but not hi-fi.
Mike's going to make us 100 shirts tomorrow that say hi-fi.
You can 100% say sci-fi and not hi-fi. That's why nobody calls it hi-fi to this day.
Well, I call it hi-fi.
As of
hey,
right
Mike,
now,
Mike, I like it. It's bold. You're a trendsetter.
I'm gonna start calling it that.
Doug said it's bad, but you are trying to make your own thing.
Yeah, I respect that you're trying to make your own thing. But hey, that's why everybody's first idea sucks. It's okay.
2 years from now, everybody's gonna call it hi-fi.
Hey, Sylvester Stallone's first idea was Rocky. Okay.
That's not true.
That was actually the Italian Stallion, the porn.
I think Sylvester Stallone's first idea was, I need to learn how to speak English.
Did he say that in English, though?
From America.
No.
Wait, guys.
You can't fucking hear him very well.
Wait, guys, if there's lo-fi now, I mean, not lo-fi, if there's a... wait, what are we talking about?
Exactly, it's stupid.
If there's hi-fi and there's sci-fi, what should we call wireless fidelity?
This is as stupid as when sci-fi changes name to SYFY.
Oh, yeah, that was terrible. What was that?
Exactly. That's what this is making me feel right now. Anyway, let's move on. Back on topic, whatever that even was. Oh, yeah, the Drakes.
Is there a fucking topic for this episode?
I just saying that I think every medieval high fantasy... Hi-fi.
You just say fantasy, bro.
Mike, high fantasy. Mike, high fantasy is too much. Shorten it up.
Hi-fi.
Okay, thank you. I like it.
Mike, when I hear you say that, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, Doug, seriously, no.
You also have to take that out of the podcast. That'll piss so many people off.
All right, okay.
In all seriousness, every like medieval fantasy thing that I've watched that doesn't have a dragon or a drake in it is boring.
Or a drake. I just keep seeing Drake now.
Like Kingdom of Heaven?
I mean, Kingdom of Heaven is really not. I mean, it's good.
That movie you brought up. And
it's good, but is it fucking great? No. It was just missing a dragon.
It's certainly a movie. So what we're saying is the guy who, without ever seeing an episode, used to talk shit on that dragon show.
The dragon show.
Is now saying that all fantasy needs dragons? Is that how I should...
And okay. The dragon. Yeah.
And...
All right. I just wanted to make sure.
I mean, admittedly, dragons do make things cooler. That's just
dragons
fact,
are cute.
The Balrog is the coolest enemy in the whole series.
Is that the thing that killed Gandalf the Grey?
First of all, Gandalf the Grey killed the Balrog, not the other way around.
Imagine Mortal Kombat Annihilation without that CGI dragon scene.
Yeah, that's why that movie fucks.
How much worse would that movie be without that awesome scene?
It's not bad at all.
That's true.
It'd go from a 9.5 out of 10 to an 8.5 out of 10.
Doug, did you say it's not bad at all? Wait, Doug, defend that right now. No, we'll wait for the Annihilation episode. Doug said that CGI is not that bad.
Oh my god.
It was the 90s. It was the 90s.
That doesn't matter.
He's saying this, but he was saying that the fucking special effects in Spawn 95 wasn't good.
Oh, it's better than Annihilation.
Oh, Annihilation's way worse. Oh yeah.
Okay. Save this for the episode on Annihilation, guys. Save this for the episode.
Tug's gonna leave that episode. So
no, I'm not. I'm gonna fucking bury you guys with facts and logic.
You're not.
Don't worry. You know what? Speaking of, we'll have to do one on Batman and Robin too, just for Adrian's sake.
I think we found who's defending that one.
Oh, God.
And yes, we do. Yes, we are.
Nah, that movie's shit, bro. I don't even want to rewatch it to do that episode.
How can you say that shit and say Annihilation is?
It is the only one that I fell asleep to.
It's
when I was
so easy to talk about how good Annihilation is.
Sucker!
I've never disliked Annihilation.
Wow. I just got to tell you this real quick before we get back on topic. Mortal Kombat Annihilation on IMDb is a 3.6 out of 10.
Yeah.
Batman and Robin, 3.7 out of 10.
Yes!
It's 0.1 better on IMDb. That is fucking... I didn't think they'd even be that close, honestly.
And 0.1 better in your hearts.
All right, Corey, as the other like super fan of the series, since we've all been like talking about our favorite movie, like Adrian's dropped that Fellowship is his favorite. Well, actually, he didn't say it's his favorite. He said it's out of these two. Am I on to something there, or is it just good? I think it's safe to
find out next episode.
Okay.
Oddly enough, I think I'd have to agree with him. I like Fellowship more than Two Towers.
Both top tier movies.
You just don't want him to be alone, do you?
Mike's just smart.
Corey, please tell me you agree with me that Two Towers is the better movie.
I do agree with you.
Thank you. Oh my God.
Oh wait, sorry. Let's clarify, Corey. What'd you say?
I like Two Towers more than Fellowship.
All right, man. I was about to get like depressed.
It's very close for me because I love the Ents.
Like, if they only had the one tower, you might have preferred Fellowship. It's that second tower.
Since we didn't talk about it, the whole like part of the movie when Aragorn gets like taken off the cliff and like they think he's dead, and like him basically being rescued like through elf magic and shit.
Yeah, they kind of do that a couple times in this movie, and that's one of my nitpicks. Is like the oh no, he's dead. Obviously, he's not dead.
Yeah, Viggo Morgenstern doesn't die.
Viggo Morgenstern. No, it's like you get that cliche, and 90% of the people know they're not dead. They do it earlier too, when the horse is over Pippin, and like Pippin covers his head, and then it transitions over to. It's like he's not fucking dead.
You got to build some
No, I get why they do it, but they did it the first one with Gandalf, which I guess did he technically die or?
Not only did he technically die, but if you're watching that first movie purely just not reading the books, not knowing the story, you might actually think he died.
Yeah. Yeah, it's set up that way.
Sometimes it's very obvious. Oh, they're obviously not dead. But that Gandalf could have possibly.
The Gandalf thing is a little more complex because he, like, in his story, I don't know how much you guys really picked up on exactly what he was saying. But he basically, not only did he die, he basically had to live through to the end of time and come back again.
And
so
he's becoming the white wizard that's actually meant to exist.
No, his death required him, his like essence to basically live through to the end of time and come back again from the beginning. And that's why he couldn't even remember, like when he first talked to them, he was like, oh yeah, they did come to him. It had been like thousands of years.
Cause Merry and Pippin didn't say it. Right.
Yeah. It's not really that important to realize that.
Right.
Yeah, that's like one of those deeper things going on that people don't really catch.
It's really similar to how the White Ranger started.
That's very
cool. Yeah.
Almost written word for word, I don't know.
Right, and by the way, the White Ranger I'm referring to is Aragorn.
Oh. Wow, that actually works.
Remember when he met Scooby-Doo and Batman?
God damn
like,
it.
Like, so like Scoop.
Mike, what are you saying?
It's almost like you forgot that suspense is an important part of movies.
No, I get
like,
that.
Damn them for making us think these people die all the time.
Yeah, like, I mean, these aren't like R-rated films where they're just going around murking everybody. It's like a lot more lighthearted.
You know what this movie needed was Jason.
But yeah, no, I see what you're saying.
Okay, well, I'm glad that Doug said he understands what I'm saying. It doesn't annoy me to the point that I'm like, oh, what the fuck is this movie doing? They do it a few times.
They're PG-13. They're not rated R.
Yeah, so, they do it with Pippin, with the transition to Legolas saying, like, oh, the sun is red. Blood was spilled this night or whatever.
Though, with that being said, there's actually a fair amount of blood in these movies. And, like, a lot of characters do die.
Shouldn't that sun be fucking red like 24/7 in Middle Earth? If there's bloodshed and there's a red sun because of it, yeah. Shouldn't that sun always be red?
Every time it rises, Legolas is like, fuck, it's red again.
I'm going to skirt past that.
I would love to see a yellow sun one of these days.
Right. Wait, the sun's yellow?
Legolas is like 700 years old. Man, red sun again.
Happy birthday to me. That's 700 years straight.
This one time they're like, oh, look at the yellow sun. Legolas is like, wait, what the fuck?
You guys see yellow?
Wait, you guys are getting paid?
Before I started asking, like, basically your overall thoughts on the movie, is there any moments from this movie we didn't touch on that you want to touch on? Anybody?
Liv Tyler.
I mean, okay.
Oh, you mean subjects. Touch on?
When sorry. I think about you, I touch myself.
I do want to say that I love that between the two, Sam is extremely cautious of Golem Smeagol.
Yeah. Like, he's really being from outside, not ever bearing the ring, he's actually seeing Golem for what he really is.
He's got a good head on his shoulders.
He does.
Yeah.
He was like Frodo before Frodo had the ring.
All right, keep your secrets then.
Frodo's kind of seemed way too trusting throughout the entire series so far.
It boils down to he wants him to be redeemable because otherwise he can't be redeemed.
As far as Gollum goes, there's a very, very clear reason why he gives him so many chances and why.
It's like Walter Wright and Gustavo Fring. There's a lot of foreshadowing in Gollum and for Frodo.
Right. Frodo says to Gollum, and more than that, I respect the strategy. In your position, I would have done the same.
Mike, sorry, go ahead, Mike. I want to get into the Golem subject, but you really got to save it for the next one. You'll understand why.
I know. I'm just saying. I understand. I understand that. Like, all jokes aside, you can't deny that Frodo is a little too trusting throughout the first two movies.
Like of everybody, or of
he's not. No, you're actually misunderstanding trusting for naive. He's naive, and he grew up in the Hobbit world where everybody just kind of gives everybody a chance.
But why, the Hobbits why is it, and Hobbiton.
Why is it that Sam is from the same world and he's not?
Because not everybody's going to be the same, but he is.
Here's a good parallel. We're all from Venango County. Yeah, we all see the world quite differently, don't we?
We don't see. I think we all see Venango County the same way.
No redeemable qualities.
I see it in my dreams every night as the beginning of Fallout 4.
Mike, I feel like you're the one guy who doesn't completely just are disgusted by Venango County.
No, I hate it here.
Yeah, Mike, be disgusted.
Mike, hate things more.
Yeah.
Mike, be more cynical. Oh.
No, there's no cynicism. It's just straight up the worst.
Mike, how can you even enjoy comedy if you're not sad and depressed all the time?
Yeah, right. That's true. Ha ha ha. Classic comedy.
That's what this episode has been about. That's the theme. We didn't really talk about Theoden's daughter. What's her name? Eowyn? Is that how you say it?
Eowyn, yeah. McGregor.
Eowyn McGregor.
I want to ask Mike this first. I want to ask Mike this first without any Return of the King influence.
Really
how do you feel about the whole Aragorn and Eowyn thing since like Liv Tyler's still alive? I love how we all just call her Liv Tyler.
Yeah. Yeah.
I still like it. Like it's one of few things. It's very rare that movies for me, obviously you guys know, get any type of romantic thing correct, and I think that these movies do it pretty well.
That's true. From Mike's standpoint.
No, he's trying to sidestep Mike Hates Love so much right now.
Welcome to this week's corner of Mike Hates Love. Except this time he doesn't.
Mike loves love.
Oh, don't do that again.
So Mike hates good depictions of love because he's never experienced it himself.
That's not true.
I would say Mike's probably experienced love the most or second most out of any of us.
But it's always like toxic and not good.
Except for this one. Beep. You're great. So we can add a different name later.
Hey, if it weren't for her, you guys would have never tried fucking Snyder's Rounds.
That's true. Thank you, Amber.
Thank you for the popcorn substitute.
Oh.
They really taste like popcorn.
Amber, I don't know you, and if I don't take me seriously.
She doesn't listen to our podcast.
Much like Doug, she doesn't listen to our podcast.
You know, I like you more already. So how you?
All right, Corey.
I didn't do it this time.
Doug's like, hey, Mike, show her that 25-year-old picture, man.
Aha! But I wasn't even with Mike's wife today.
Okay.
No, so Ewan, the only reason I brought her up is McGregor. To me, her Ewan McGregor. Corey said that, it really fucking
I'm never not going to hear it now.
No, but Ewan I actually said her full. I said, no, but Ewan McGregor.
No. All right. But yeah, be careful about stumbling into return territory here.
No, I just want to say that Ewan, to me, in this movie particularly, is kind of like a love-hate thing for me as her character. First off, you have this love triangle, which to me, I don't know, it's a pointless love triangle.
I kind of feel bad for her, honestly.
See, I don't feel bad for her. I feel bad for fucking Liv Tyler's character.
Yeah, well, no, I feel bad for both of them.
Because he fucking, like, basically is like, I gotta give up on you, you gotta leave with your people, yada yada. And then just, like, this other chick rolls in, oh yeah, you're pretty great. And she's like, still there.
Think about that later in their future when, I don't want to say what happens, but Mike hasn't seen it. But later in their future, events happen, and Mike, they end up together. That's not really that big of a deal. But just think about, like, the rest of her life, she's going to wonder, do I even stack up to that elf? Like, am I even
as good? No, you don't. You don't.
Exactly. Like, for the rest of her life, she's going to feel like his second choice.
Elves are, like, the most powerful, greatest creatures in this entire universe.
And it's Liv fucking Tyler.
Mike, Aragorn and Legolas end up together. There's no way around
that. That's what I mean. Right. Oh, I'm sorry. Do you think I was talking about Ewan McGregor?
It's Gimli and Legolas. It's Gimli and Legolas.
Yeah, if it's anybody, it would be Gimli and Legolas.
No.
I'm sorry, my fan fiction leaked in again. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but Ewan, to me, like I said, kind of a love-hate in this first, like the first time we see her. I love the fact, you know, that she wants to be a fighter. She wants to fight for her people. She doesn't want to be just like another one of the women and children. But I don't know. She kind of gets like, when you do think that Aragorn fell over the cliff and died, I don't know why she gets more focused than fucking Legolas and Gimli. Like, they've been his friends, and, like, she gets the best moment of, like, he's gone.
I understand why Legolas wouldn't get super focused. He's 700 years old. He saw a lot of people die.
Every mortal friend he's ever had has died.
He's probably had this happen a lot.
Legolas has seen some shit, okay?
Yeah. But Gimli, yeah, he definitely.
Yeah, and this girl's known Aragorn for, like, 24 hours. Like, why?
Okay, they accelerated the timetable a little
bit. I know, not literally 24 hours.
But it was really fast.
Yeah.
She clearly wanted to help, though, and he's like, nah, your place is here.
You saw Viggo Mortensen. Dude's...
Oh, he saw it. Wait, is that where... I was going to say, is that the direction we're going, or did I just say that? Did I just volunteer that information? You were going to say, you've seen Viggo... He was going to say, you know Viggo Mortensen. He's a good actor. I'm like, oh, he saw it.
You know that Viggo Mortensen. I'd fuck him. Is that not where we're going with that?
Is that where we were?
Mary, fuck, kill?
I mean, he's all right.
Viggo Mortensen.
No, Mary, fuck, kill, Gimli, Legolas, and Aragorn.
Oh, that's good. Well, I'm going to...
Can I marry, fuck, and kill Gimli?
Not necessarily in that order.
Oh, God. Kill, fuck, and then marry.
Why is Mary last?
Mary?
Because marriage is death. Oh.
Kill, fuck, marry, Mary, and Pippin. And then the tree. I mean, the ant.
How dare you? Yeah.
I'm going to. Am I the only one? I'm going to fuck that ant.
I mean, fucking Longbeard looks.
I mean, I jizz in his beard.
I think we've all seen Evil Dead. That tree's gonna fuck you.
That tree's gonna definitely fuck you. Yeah.
That's true.
Anyway, back to... I don't really have much to say about her until we get to the next movie. I'm gonna be real.
I understand.
Because I have a lot to say about her character in
I'm
general.
Excited to see the next movie.
Okay, it's super good.
Yep. Okay, let me hit just one of my small nitpicks. We already talked about the Red Sun
thing. Adrian, all your nitpicks... You got 5 minutes. Go.
No, so, I don't even need that.
We won't.
I don't even need 5 minutes.
I don't even need that. But thank you, because I think the movie's pretty well done.
No interruptions. Go.
So we talked about the red sun thing. I think that sun should always fucking be red in Middle Earth because there's always bloodshed.
Yep.
There's a lot of fake out deaths with Pippin looking like he's going to get stepped on. Fucking, I just forgot fucking Viggo Mortensen's name.
Aragorn.
I wanted to mix that in Legolas, like Aralus.
He's not Aragorn, whatever that fucking thing is.
That's a dragon.
Yeah, you have Aragorn falling over
the edge. Aragorn's a good book.
Well, this has been a great 5 minutes of uninterruptions.
Does it ever happen?
I know.
All right, go.
You have too many fake out deaths with the Pippin thing. The last movie, I understand a little more because, like Corey said, if you didn't know the books, if you've never gone into these movies, you might think that Gandalf actually died. And I guess technically he did. But you have Gandalf, you have Pippin, you have Aragorn, and then you have Aragorn again, like during the fucking main battle where he's like laying on the ground and it's like, he's going to get up. He's not fucking dead. a little too many of the fake out deaths. But then my big one, maybe you guys can answer this for me, is the goddamn Frodo's cloak thing. Like when they're at the Black Gate and Sam is like looking for a good vantage point and Sam falls off and he gets buried in the sand or whatever. And you have these two soldiers that notice and they come over to look and Frodo like throws his cloak over them. And all of a sudden they look like a boulder. Like he has Batman's fucking cape.
Elven magic. It's an
is Elven that what cloak. It is?
Yeah. They all had them. It's just the only time they used them in the movie that I can recall.
It just wasn't shown more.
It's the same power that the ring that Gadriela has that hides their
Galadriel.
Galadriel. That's what I meant.
Yeah.
It's the same magic that Galadriel has in that ring to hide what you need from evil.
Yeah. Okay.
In that cape. All right.
So you remember Dragon Ball Z? You know the Cell Saga?
Well, yeah.
And Hercules like, I can do that too. It's just a trick of the mirrors. And then he looks away and he looks back and he's like a obviously fake rock with like listening to sin or pretending to see it.
Right.
That was the same cloak.
that totally makes sense. I thought he had the cloak from Batman and Robin where he could just cover himself. One of the greatest movies of all time.
I know that was one of those specific things I could pick out ever, but
that was a great example.
It really threw me off when they were going down the hill and Frodo clicked his heels together and ice skates came out.
Yeah, that was weird. That was really weird.
There's no place like home. There's no. Oh, wait, these are ice skates. Wrong movie.
Arnold Schwarzenegger said, chill.
I don't think we're in Gotham City anymore, Toto.
Yeah, but
Toto.
And then the other one would be, speaking of Dragon Ball Z, so Aragorn totally pulls, when Krillin has the sword up to Vegeta, he's going to kill him.
Yeah.
Aragorn totally pulls that with Wormtongue, and he's like, he's too much blood has been shed on his behalf.
Just let him go.
Yeah, but A, why does he let him go? And B, they even give him a fucking horse to ride out on.
Yeah, they really shouldn't have let him go. I don't understand that.
I have never understood that. I will be straight up with you. I do not know the answer.
Because they had to show that somebody in the fucking movie has heart.
Like Aragorn has a heart letting him go?
Are you saying... Okay, Mike, you just tilted me off the face of the planet. Let's just move on from that statement.
This is sarcasm.
Oh, but, I know, but holy fuck.
But literally, those are my only little nitty pickies. That's what I
Anyone
call
Anyone else have nitpicks with the movie that they'd like to go into?
This is really long.
That's true.
Okay, that actually brings me to a question that I have mostly for you,
too long.
Adrian and
too
Mike.
Long.
Is it? Do you think these movies are better as with the enhanced versions, or do you prefer the theatrical releases? Adrian, since you've seen all three, I want to ask you first, but then Mike, I'll ask you next.
You know, to be 100% honest with you, I don't know that I've ever watched just the theatrical cuts, because I watched them once last year. They were all the director's cuts, and I watched them all again this year, and they're the director's cuts. So I don't know what's omitted from the shorter versions.
Okay, so you don't really have a frame. They're significantly longer, though. You know that. Yeah.
I do know that.
Yeah.
Like, longer.
Depending what was, I'll say this. Going forward, I will watch this trilogy again. I don't know if I'll watch it every year, because, quite frankly, they're fucking exhausting.
There's a lot to them. They're great.
I will watch them again. I might look into what's omitted from the theatrical cut, and if I don't think it's that big of a deal, I might watch the theatrical cuts going forward.
I'm going to speak as an impartial person here because Doug is 100% all about those director cuts.
Corey's going to speak as an incel. Good.
The yes, those The theatrical cuts are perfectly fine if you want to do a yearly watch.
Okay.
Because I watch them every year, and I don't always watch the director's cuts. Sometimes I just watch the normal ones.
Yeah, yeah.
I think as me watching them for the first time, like, in being able to pay attention, I think these director's cuts are important.
Yes. For trying to evaluate a movie and its worth, director's cuts is a good idea.
The Fellowship of the Ring, definitely. I don't think there was anything wasted. I think it was all important. I feel like Two Towers probably could have been, like, feel like the theatrical version would have been just fine.
Wait till you watch Return of the King. That's over 4 hours long.
Oh, God. I was excited to watch
that. And I like to point out, Adrian tried to watch them back to back. So that's how I knew he was actually a fan of these movies now.
That actually told me all I needed to know when he's like, yeah. Oh man, I watched Two Towers and I fell asleep halfway through Return of the King. I'm like, oh shit, he must like them.
He tried to fucking watch them back to back because that is a lot of movie.
I woke up and finished it.
Yeah, I was impressed. I was like, holy shit.
I think I'm becoming a Lord of the Rings fan, guys.
So will the joke with Randall and Clerks 2 be less funny or more
there's
funny? For you?
There's still only one return, bitches, and that's of the Jedi. Randall. Doug's like, eh.
I'm standing on the other side of the counter with those guys in their Lord of the Rings.
Listen, so. I'm gonna say something shocking to you guys at the end of the Return of the King episode involving shocking Lord of the Rings versus Star Wars.
I'm excited to hear that. Anyway.
You're gonna say something shocking on a show called Culture Shock?
Yes, god damn it, Mike.
God damn it, Mike.
But Mike, finish your thought, please. Yeah, yeah. No. Mike, please finish your thought about the theatrical releases.
I'm sure Return of the King, being that it's the final movie, most of the extended cuts probably all important. I just feel like there was a lot of extra stuff in this Two Towers that was kind of like... There was a lot of filler, it felt like, honestly.
Do you know what was not in it versus theatrical?
Well, no, I have no idea. I'm just saying it did feel...
You're saying this movie felt bloated to you?
There are moments where I feel like certain scenes kind of drug on.
Like?
As a fan of both, I'll defend Mike and say that there's a shit ton of dialogue that could be trimmed. There's a lot of fat.
I know. I'm not saying he's wrong, but I'd like to hear the parts that he's talking about specifically.
As much as I enjoyed like the end stuff, I feel like there's a lot of that could have been taken out.
Mike was the biggest fan out of the four of us. Dude, Doug just lost it. He's having his Heisenberg crawl space moment.
I even tried to back you up on that a little bit.
I agree with Mike about the Ent stuff, because, hey, I'm on record saying I didn't like it, so it makes sense that I said
I agree with him as well, but I was like the one guy who was like, okay, it's not as bad as these guys are saying.
See, when you try to back Mike up, holy he fucks fuck. You. Mike's like, actually, that sucked ass. You're on your own, Doug.
You just...
I pulled a reverse, Doug. It was like, I love it. Oh, by the way, I actually hated it.
That was the fly. That was me with the fly in the episode we're redoing. I can't even make that joke again. I'm so upset.
Yeah.
No, other than there's also, I think that the one scene, there's a lot of like the traveling with Frodo and Sam and Gollum that I felt like could have been dwindled a little.
Mike might not like the third movie, guys.
I really hated that whole Hobbit thing. What's that all about?
If it wasn't for the whole Sam and Frodo, this would be a good movie.
These movies would be great without the Hobbits.
A Hobbit's Tale, There Mike, and Back Mike, Again, and The Fellowship of the Rings by Bilbo Baggins.
Mike, do me a favor. Baggins. Don't ever watch the three Hobbit movies. It's pretty much all
you mean
Hobbits.
The three fucking movies that should have only been one?
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't say one. I'd say
two. Maybe, yeah.
But they did act like Legolas isn't even in the Hobbit book.
I put him in
those movies. But yeah, Adrian.
But Doug, what are the last couple pages for? Oh, sorry, that's the next movie.
Yeah, I know.
Oh my god,
I'm so excited to talk about that movie.
Oh yeah. No, I agree with Mike about, obviously, like I said, I don't really like the fucking Treebeard stuff. They still could have put those scenes in there. They could have shortened it down a lot, but then you're sacrificing most to all of the Merry and Pippin scenes.
See, I'm going to be straight. Like, I'm diehard for the extended. I think it's like the definitive way to watch them personally. I can understand if you don't want to, but like at the end of Return of the King, I was like sad it was over. Like, even though it's like so, it can be exhausting to watch. Like, I just want even more. So I even reinstalled Shadows of Mordor on my PC.
Nice.
Just for more Lord of the Rings. Nice. Like, I love this story and this world so much that I would, if they added another hour to each movie, I'd still watch it.
Yeah, I'd definitely watch them just to watch them.
Yeah, no, I love the movies, and I was sad when it was over. Like I said, for me, I was fatigued. I was like, I was ready for them to be over. I'm like, yes, I will watch these again. I don't think I'll probably watch them every year, but I will watch them again.
You, I'll get into that in the next one, but yeah, I don't even rewatch these every year like Corey does. It's, I kind of hold them off.
That's a fucking task, Corey. Yeah. I'll tell you that. Jesus.
I rewatched the Harry Potter movies and the Lord of the Rings.
I rewatched Dragon Ball from Dragon Ball all the way through the end of Z every year for 10 years straight. And I don't think I could ever do that.
Yeah, see, that's way more of a task than me.
I don't think I could ever do it again. It's so demanding.
I have only ever done that once with the whole Dragon Ball series, and that's including Super.
That's why I am such a fucking, like, it's, that's my, one of my favorite things of all time.
I've watched Z a lot over and over, but I've never watched that only once.
But just for the record, Mike, so you did watch the director's cuts. You will continue to do so for Return of the King. But you think going forward, you could get away with watching the theatrical releases?
I mean, next time I watch these movies, I think I'll try with the theatrical releases to kind of compare.
And you're kind of on the lines.
It's going to be a while.
Right. I was guess. So you're also on the same wavelength that you're not. These aren't going to be yearly watches, even though they're amazing.
Yeah, these movies so far have been not only cinematically beautifully visual, like to watch, but the story's been great. You know, a lot of the dialogue, though some of it lengthy, has been great. The characters, there's not really a character I don't like, which is impressive because in the first one I hated Merry and Pippin.
Just to piggyback something you just said, with all the good things to say about this movie, I still stand firm that the dialogue is probably its biggest high point.
Yeah, the Lord of the Rings movies have a way of doing exposition where it doesn't annoy me. Like a lot of movies, it's like, okay, you're clearly dumping this all on so we understand the lore. Yeah. And even though this has more fucking lore than probably anything, it never annoyed me or felt like it was forced.
In hi-fi movies, you need a lot of lengthy speeches.
That's true. Mike, you do in hi-fi movies.
Can you please, can you go outside and walk into traffic for me?
Doug's like, go outside, wait about an hour and 20 minutes, and I'm going to run you over. I have to drive from here.
I'm going to hit you with my roommate's hybrid vehicle.
Doug just drives the whole way down just to run you over and then drives back up.
Doug, if it helps, I don't think I'm too far from Mike, and I have to go pick up Katie, so I can just do that for
perfect. Me. So they'll be there soon.
I think our first merch is just going to be hi-fi.
I think it should be.
Doug, want totally, nothing to do with it. Don't even put my name on it. Anyway.
I just think of a Family Guy fucking flashback where Doug, you just see him getting in his car near, goes to Royal City, has Mike, and drives back.
Anyway, what were we talking about, guys?
Doug, where are we at? Nowhere.
Bathroom.
Bathroom.
I had to take a shit.
And we would have believed it, so.
That was a 3-hour shit. Yeah, it was a bad one. Anyway. We are approaching our end time here, so
yeah,
it's
going to
be time
to
wrap
it up real soon.
I'm going to give you you basically
our end time.
So Corey, let's just start with you. Last thoughts on Two Towers.
As has been my opinion since the day I saw it in theaters, this is an amazing fucking movie, and there's a reason I watch it. I watch the series every year.
You're fucking nuts.
The dialogue is absolutely beautiful. There's so many, like, when you go to a movie for inspirational speeches and things to make you feel good, there's very few that have more than the Lord of the Rings series.
This or Braveheart?
It's Braveheart. Come on.
I agree.
Probably Braveheart.
Okay.
Lightning out of our eyes.
I had to do that. Anyway,
that's hard
ahead.
For me, but
I know. Okay. Go ahead and continue.
Not only that, but like I can even look past the little bit of CGI that you can tell is really bad. Like Gollum's still not great in the second movie.
Early 2000s.
Yeah, I can look past that and still really enjoy it. They played them in theaters in Erie one time a few years ago, and I went and saw all three of them. There was like an hour break in between each movie, but it was an all day event, and I fucking loved that. I'll go back again if they do it again, and I'm hoping they do a live orchestra like they do with the Star Wars movie someday.
Yeah.
I would love to see that.
Yeah, because while Howard Shore is no John Williams, he's still a great composer.
Yeah.
Right, Doug?
There's only one composer in modern times that I think stands above John Williams, and it's Nobuo Uematsu. So, yes.
I was just trying to take a jab, and you agreed with me. I love it.
No, I honestly agree.
I mean, John Williams has provided us.
You mean the guy who didn't start scoring Chrono Trigger?
Yeah.
And to Corey's point, I think there's only one really laughably bad CGI moment in all of the Two Towers. It's like when they're fighting those things. What is it? Where like Aragorn falls off the side?
Dog things,
the wargs.
There's one moment where they're fighting them, where Legolas jumps off this mountainside and he's like shooting his arrow in the back, and it's so clear he's like running on a green screen. I was like, oh god.
The wargs are probably one of like the three worst CG scenes in the entire.
Right. That whole sequence was the only time in this movie where I'm like, ooh, that's
the
rough.
Octopus in the first, and yeah. I want to get into it.
Yeah, like I said, it's the early 2000s. They were just starting to master CGI.
Yeah, I'm not saying it was god awful, but compared to the other seat, like think of the Balrog, and then think of those works. Like one right. Cared about a lot.
I agree. I just in this time frame in the early 2000s, like even like TV shows were starting to get movie quality CGI. So
yeah,
like they were. No, that's actually a thing I've been learning listening to some podcasts.
Did you see Spider-Man 3's Venom?
Whoa! Hey. Okay,
first of all.
I actually have something to say about that another time, but we have limited time here.
Adrian, can you grab a few beers so we can talk about this real quick?
Yeah, you got to leave in 12 minutes, so we got to stay on topic, guys. So, Mike, go ahead.
I was just saying, personally, for me to complain about the CGI, you're right. It does look a little sketchy, but for that time, I forgave it.
Thoughts on the movie overall?
Oh, thoughts on the movie overall?
Yeah. We're on final thoughts. We got 11 minutes left.
Fucking fantastic. It was pretty cute.
Better or worse than Fellowship?
Personal enjoyment.
I was trying to see if he would give flip flop.
No, I still think Fellowship's just a little better to me, only because I think and the same with Adrian. I like all of them together.
Yeah.
It made for a lot of fun moments aside from Merry and Pippin. I think the only thing I like more about this movie is that Merry and Pippin had a better moment because they weren't with the group.
I am so excited for the third movie episode. Anyway. No, but like, were you done?
Yeah, I'm done.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know if the silence meant go, Adrian, or Mike had more to say.
Yeah, I didn't want to interrupt you. Talking about something. I can't wait for the final.
I'm just kidding.
Can I finish?
Okay, I'm done. All right, and Adrian.
Two Towers. I mean, I do have the gift of hindsight now that I've seen all three movies as a complete package. But the Two Towers is about as great as a middle entry can be to any trilogy. Kind of ups the action a little bit. It's got two acts of really solid build, good character moments. I love all the new characters they brought in. Excellent acting, great score, beautiful visuals, and one of the greatest battles ever put to screen in Helm's Deep. As somebody who's not like a big war guy, that's just a lot of fun to watch. That's one of the things that stuck out when I watched this last year. That's one of the things that sticks out this time. Probably the best battle sequence of the entire trilogy. And Mike, you wanted to say something?
I thought occur to me when you were talking about bringing in new characters. I know that he's technically his character's dead, but they did bring Sean Bean back for this movie for that, that flashback. So it's kind of like he's in two of them.
Boromir lives.
Do you think they shot those scenes when they shot Fellowship, or did they actually bring him back to shoot?
I think
those
they
scenes?
Actually brought him back to shoot those scenes.
Okay. And go ahead and finish up, Adrian.
Go ahead, Adrian.
And then just. What we've already kind of been talking about with the CGI, which I think for the most part is fucking great because there's a good mix of practical. These movies just, compared to so many movies of their time, and then even go back 70s, 80s, 90s, these movies to me are always going to age just so well. Yeah. They really are. Kids are going to watch these 100 years from now and they're going to fucking love them. It's just, it felt like they only used CGI when they absolutely had to. Most of it was practical effects, at least as much as they could make practical. And to me, that'll just always be more enjoyable to watch on screen than CGI is. So the movies age well. I love the Two Towers.
Corey, go ahead and wipe the tears from your eyes real quick.
I know. I'm very, nobody in this room or listening to this podcast has any idea how happy I am that he likes these movies.
And in a sincere moment, one thing I love about doing this podcast is it has opened me up to retrying things that I didn't think I would used to like, or I just never gave a chance to. And it's opened me up a little bit.
I said good things about Batman 1990.
that's why I plan on doing that series where I rewatch movies I haven't seen in a long time, see if I still hate them.
I really like how you said it. I don't really have anything to really add on top of that. Like I said, this is my favorite movie of the three, just because it had the highest points for me and the highest low points at the same time. Like even though it had low points, they were like still higher than the other
than movies. The worst parts of the two movies.
Yeah, exactly. I have very little to complain about. Most like what I joke, like say it, like nitpick on is just jokingly. It's like not really a big deal. Like the spears and the light, it's whatever.
Yeah.
Like it's funny, but like it's not like I get sucked out of the scene or anything. Like I'm still like, yeah.
Right. Absolutely. And we don't talk about the Red Sun.
I've never even picked up on that. It just always sounded like a really slick line.
It does.
I was like, that's really cool. But it's like, I guess when you stop and think about it, it should be red all the time.
Middle Earth kind of sucks.
Yeah, I don't. I like I said, I don't really have much to add. I think you said it really well. Frankly, I know some people hate this, but I look at these movies as one cohesive like story, like with one like that's why I love how it's gonna like the next movie is going to literally guess what, Mike? It's gonna pick up right where this left off. But yeah, it's just really solid. It's a great story. I love it. Since you have something to say about Star Wars and stuff, I'll save that for the next episode.
Right.
I too have, I don't know why they're compared. I really don't like that they're compared.
It really doesn't make any sense.
But since they are compared, I'll say what I feel about that when we get to that. I can't say enough how much I like the characters, how
absolutely
they're so deep. They feel things, they have emotion, like even Gimli, like, more so in the third movie as like one of my favorite lines in the whole series. So it's so hard not to talk about, but yeah, I don't think I really have to say much else. It's just a fucking beautiful experience. Not
absolutely
just a
movie. It is. It's a beautiful, fantastic, exhausting
experience.
It's been
a beautiful ride.
I had to add exhausting in there.
Maybe more exhausting than Frodo's walk all the way.
He didn't really walk that far.
But Frodo never had to sprint for 10 seconds straight.
Fucking hell, dude. All right, so
we'll do our plugs.
If
we'll
you like, if you like Lord of the Rings, Corey, why don't you tell them where they come talk to us about this and tell us how all the ways it's better than Star Wars.
If you want to come to any of our social medias and tell me how much you like Braveheart more than Lord of the Rings, on Facebook, we're Culture Shock Podcast. On Instagram, we're Culture Shock 21. And on Twitter, where I do most of my work, it's CS Podcast 21. Please come over there and discuss any of the films with me or really any of the episodes we've done. If you want to come and call any of us idiots, we really like that. We like it more than you know, so... Go ahead and come and talk to us.
You can check out my stuff on bakerreviews.com/... Wait, what? You can check out my stuff on youtube.com/bakerreviews. I talk movie reviews, rankings, tier lists, stuff like that. I just put out my thoughts for Halloween Ends. I will be having my entire Halloween ranking coming out next. December will be my top five best movies, worst movies, and disappointing movies of 2022. Guys, yeah. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Let us know what your favorite moment is in all the Lord of the Rings movies.
Baker Reviews.
Thank you, Mike.
Okay. And I think that's going to about do it for this episode. From all of us at Cult Shock, thanks for listening. Samwise the Brave. That's a story I'd like to hear more of.